Father, we give you thanks. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Father, we thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We talked about developing the human spirit, and that's the series we are going through. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. We said, a newborn babe has no past. You might have been a horrible person. Once the life of God came into you and gave birth to you, that man was gone. It's completely gone, and you have no past as far as God is concerned. But man might still look and say, this is the man that did those things. But as far as the courts of heaven is concerned, that man was completely destroyed, and a new man has come into existence. And that new man has the characteristics of God himself. He says, all things in that new man are now of God, who has reconciled you to himself by Jesus Christ. So I want you to now begin to look, when the enemy comes with condemnation of the things you've done in your past. Peradventure you are a new creature and you still made some mistakes. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it means that we are completely free from condemnation. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh but after the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So as a new creature in Christ Jesus, you are completely free from condemnation. Your past has no bearing as far as the courts of heaven is concerned. We have to tune our minds back to what God intended us to be from the foundations of the earth. Because we have become so focused on the outside, there is something on the inside of us. There's a new man on the inside of us who was created in the image of God. And that man is designed to function with revelation knowledge. We'll see that closely. Revelation knowledge is the food and the way that man functions. Because we are so much in contact with the outside world, we have begun to fashion our lives with sense knowledge and evidences on the outside. We'll see clearly. Because, I was just meditating on this. God said, look, there's sense knowledge and there's revelation knowledge. And both are based on facts. We have to understand that. Revelation knowledge is on one side. Sense knowledge is on one side. And the thing about it is that you cannot actually believe outside of facts. Let me reframe it. If you do not know facts, the reason why you believe that hydrogen and oxygen gives rise to water is because there are certain facts. They've proven it to you by facts. So also, in the things of the Spirit, your faith has to rest on facts. I'm going somewhere. Not on feelings. Not on probability. Not on emotions. It is facts. Whether you feel like it or not, there are certain facts which we have to come to understand and base everything on those facts. You see, the way God showed me this week was so funny. I will come down to base level now, because the Bible says our brethren, all of us have the same afflictions, right? Some guys were calling me. There was something I needed to pay. Some guys were calling me, when I want to pick them up, I would look at the number. So I was waiting for a certain amount of money. When I got that money, with the fact that the money had hit my account, when I saw the number, the reaction was different. That's what God is talking about. It is not trying to make believe. I want you to understand this. It is not trying to walk up yourself into faith. There's a certain knowledge which the Spirit of God can impact into your spirit. that will make you understand that this is a fact. That's what we're talking about. You see, so when it hit my account, even though I hadn't remitted the money, when I saw the number, I even answered the phone with a degree of audacity that wasn't there before. I want you to understand, it's not, we're not making believe in this thing. No, we're not doing metaphysics. I'm serious. No. Because that assurance can only be created by the Spirit of God himself. It's not by trying to work it up. Because I was thinking back. I said, it's not by trying to make it happen. No. Because it's God that works inside you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When he works it on the inside of you, you now come out and work that thing out. So we'll go through some things today. Because we are dealing with a supernatural thing here. You know, natural men can have faith. But their faith is worked up. It's the Spirit of God. It says it is of grace. It is of grace. So that the promise will be sure to all the seed. You know, so faith is something that the Spirit of God impacts into you through the word. See, okay, let me tell you. If you take the scriptures, I mean, it's okay. I say meditate, okay. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Just keep on saying to yourself, if the Holy Ghost is not present, nothing happens. I want to make a little shift in our mind. If the Spirit of God is not there, nothing happens. Because the essence of the new covenant, it says, I, me, myself, the Holy Spirit, will write my laws in your heart and in your innermost soul. So I want us to become more conscious of the presence of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that actually impacts this substance to us. And it's the Spirit that actually transforms us to the image. So there's no boasting anywhere. If you take away the Holy Spirit, you can do all the religious rigmaroles you want to do on the earth. If you take away his presence, and you can do every single thing you want to do, nothing will happen. It's as we behold and do those things, the Spirit himself, so that dependence on the Holy Ghost is still there. Because you can start practicing and doing things that you cut away the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one that does the transformation. You do the beholding and it does the transformation. You do the affirmation, you confess God's word, but the Spirit of God is the one that does the writing of the law inside your heart. It's the one that causes the faith to be generated. It's the one that does everything on the inside of you. You cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit's actions. It's not possible. So let's understand that. Let's begin to understand that it is the Spirit that actually gives that life. It is the Spirit that actually quickens. You know, we can come to a point where we say, okay, we confess the word, fine, but without the Holy Spirit, you can confess all you want. He will write it. He says, I will write my law in your heart. So let's be conscious of that. You are declaring God's word, that dependence upon the Spirit of God to make those things good inside you. And when he has finished the work inside you, you now come out and do the thing on the outside. So it's the Spirit of God. Without him, we can do nothing. So I want us to begin to reference the person of the Holy Spirit. He has come to make the new covenant good inside us. He is the one. He is the person that has come to make it all good. That's why Jesus says, look, you cannot do anything without the Spirit of God. I will go away, but I will send you another comforter or helper, one to come alongside with you to help you in carrying out the dictates and the demands of the new covenant himself. Those guys, they have the Spirit dwelling inside them. That's the difference. That's what makes the difference. The promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit. Let's understand. Let's go back to the place, to the old time religion. Well, we're going to depend on the person of the Holy Spirit. I was listening to R.T. Kendall. I think it's R.T. Kendall. He said, he was talking about books. He said, the Holy Spirit is so sensitive. He said, he can be easily hurt. Can be easily. So I began to, when I heard him, I said, I know the Spirit is there, but am I that sensitive to his presence? He's a person like us. He's a person. So let us begin to understand that this person of the Holy Spirit has come to indwell the new creature. That's us. So what has happened is that I said he has no past, the new creature in Christ. The old man was completely destroyed and a new man came into being. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, in John chapter 3, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you are born of natural descent, you came to the earth, and your parents, you grew up as a child into adulthood. And that spirit man was separated from God. When you came to the age of accountability, what happens is that you had to make a choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. So what happened is that you accepted Jesus Christ and a new birth took place. Nicodemus, do you understand? He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus says, no, except a man be born again. That means you are born again by the word of God through the Holy Spirit. So he brings about a newborn baby into the earth. And that's what happens in salvation when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So that happens inside you. So you are now living as though you have the outward man there and there's an inward man who is the new creature in Christ. Christianity or salvation or the new birth is not a mental experience. The new birth is not a physical experience. The new birth is a spiritual experience that takes place on the inside of you. You can see someone who's born again. Nothing might change on the outside. It's a process. Things will gradually begin to change on the outside. But I want you to see that this thing is a spiritual experience. I want you to understand that that new man is the real man on the inside of you, which is on the inside. So you can see the man, say he got saved and he's still the same. I was listening to Hagin. He said some people came to give their life to Christ. And they came out and they said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. He said, ah. And he walked back. He said, he's not sure. These people, no, nothing on there, no drama. He said, the ones that even came out with drama. Hey, that those ones, they didn't find them after some months. So I want to say that it is not an external thing. It is a spiritual thing that took place on the inside of you. A transformation took place on the inside of the man and he became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that. A new man came into existence. You might not feel like it. You might not think it is. Sometimes you wake up and say, am I really a new creature? You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how you feel, how you think, or how you talk. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with anything on the outside. We'll talk about the process that takes place for the transformation of that man, for the emergence of that man to come out on the outside and begin to affect the things on the outside. So understand that you are a new creature, a new species of being that has never existed before, with the attributes and the character of God the Father himself. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. So it's a child. A child needs to grow. And how does it grow? You give him milk. Galatians chapter... Let's go to Peter first. I think it's 1 Peter. I want to show you something. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. So we say he's a new creature in Christ. He's a babe in Christ. And what happens? 1 Peter 2, 2. See, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, we have seen there the new babe in Christ desires, needs something to make him grow, which is the sincere milk of the word of God. And you know, a baby can't do anything for himself. I think we're a bit too harsh sometimes. People get saved one day, tomorrow we expect the whole world from them. Sometimes we're a bit too harsh, honestly. Let us begin to go, let us see the invisible things are seen by the things that are made. Let us apply some sense. Someone gets saved today, you expect him to become a spiritual giant the next day. A baby can't do anything for himself. You feed him, you bath him, you clothe him, think of your child. The responsibility of us that have matured in the things of the Spirit is to actually bear the infirmities of those babies. Is to feed them with milk. Spoon feed them. Change their clothes. If they go into error, not to broadcast. Treat them with some degree of tenderness. They are babies. It's a process. You too were a baby once. You know, that's why I believe in the ministry of, and as a follow-up, I mean, as in a follow-up in a sense that you're nurturing people and bringing them to maturity. But I believe that disciples should be made. I honestly believe it. It says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. That's what God has shown me, that look, you have to teach this thing again from the foundation. We're talking about bringing, building up disciples. Christianity is not anything external. Christianity is not for getting your needs met alone. If you have come into Christianity just to get your need met, that is not the essence of Christianity. Christianity is to build people in the image and the likeness and the stature of Christ Jesus himself. You need to get mad and all that. But the essence of it is to build people strong in character with the very nature of Christ inside them. That's the essence of it. Those needs, all those things that we get met. But that is not the focus of it. That is not the essence of it. It's not materialism. No. It is building people up to the nature and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it's about. So let's begin to understand that and we'll begin to go deeper into the life that God has given us. So he says, he needs something called milk, which is the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. So as long as he has that sincere milk of the word, there's a guarantee that he will grow thereby. So what is this growth and what do we expect? What do we mean by grow thereby? Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. See, this series is going to go up until December. I've said it clearly because we have to teach this thing clearly so that people will know what the essence of this thing is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's start from 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh, or the desires of the senses. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know, we quote it, how many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the works of the flesh, or the senses, or the human nature, or the carnal nature, are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Interesting that. Let me go on. I'm not going to go there today. Of which I have told you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, the way into the kingdom of God, you see, the lifestyle of the person, the fruits of the Spirit, is what will usher you into destiny. I will explain what I'm saying. Into the kingdom of God. You see, when those things are missing, people try to solve problems which, if a lifestyle is cultivated, you will automatically walk in those things effortlessly. There's a culture of the kingdom of God, which we will talk about today. You see, when that culture is missing and things arise as a result of the absence of that culture, fine, we'll fix them. God will fix them, but he wants you to go and cultivate that culture. That culture, once it's cultivated, called the kingdom culture, which is when cultivated, it will result in you working effortless in the things that God has given unto you and delivered unto you effortlessly. So let's go there. We'll see. So, but the fruit of the Spirit, that word Spirit, the King James used the capital letter, but in the Greek, there's only one word for spirit, which is pneuma. The fruit of the Spirit, and I believe strongly that's the fruit of the born-again, recreated human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit is inside us. Because of his presence, we will bear fruit. I will show you. John 15 says, let's go there. Let me buttress the point. I'm not going to... Let's go through the scriptures. This is, we're going back to the basics of Christianity. Fundamental. Christianity 101. John 15, verse 1. Says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. So, he is the vine, and we are the branches. The fruit grows on the branch. So, that's what I'm saying, that fruit of the Spirit, it grows on the branch, which is us. So the fruit of the Spirit is talking about the fruit of the born again, recreated human spirit, because it's the fruit that bears, it's the branch that bears fruit. So you can see that Jesus Christ is the vine, and we bear those fruits because of the life of Christ on the inside of us that flows through us. So we go there. It says, now the fruit of the spirit, let's say the born again recreated human spirit, is this. It's love. That's the first fruit of the spirit. Joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, against such there is no law. If you look at 18, it says, if we be led of the Spirit of God, we are not under the law. So being led of the Spirit, the fundamental thing is to be led, is to develop the fruits of the Spirit on the inside of us. That's what it means to be led of the Spirit. If you look at it, it says, against such, there is no law. If you look at it, it says, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And if you look at 24, it says, against such, there is no law. People that walk in the fruits of the Spirit, against such, there is no law. We'll go deep into this thing. We'll see that, actually, when you say maturity in Christianity, is maturity in the love of God. Maturity in the attributes of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what maturity is in the true essence of it. Because you can have the outflow and the dynamics of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. I can come here and preach under the influence of an unction and wearing a garment that was placed upon me by the Holy Spirit to minister in the capacity as a pastor, but I might be immature in the development of the fruit of the Spirit. However, after some time, I won't be able to sustain that thing, because you need the fruit, the development of the man on the inside, to be able to sustain the gifts of the Spirit. That's why people go into error. Let's understand this. We're going back to the root of this thing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We'll start from love. And I will show you from the scriptures that love is where we should focus on. It's so important. I try to go away from it. The Holy Spirit brings me back. I say, no, you have to drum it into the minds of the people so that they will see, because God is love. That's the nature you received. When he says, I'm a new creature, the nature of God, the image of God, the likeness of God, who is God like? God is love. That's who God is. So let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Let's go down to the book, to verse 9. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. See, but that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. It says, when I was a child, note that. He said, we'll uncover some things today. He says, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Note that. Let's go to the book of, and he's talking about, when he says manhood, he's talking about being made mature in the love of God. I will show you, let's go to the book of, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Understand that this is completely, there's no negotiation about this one. We must go to that place of maturity, developing in the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Say, I, brethren, follow me, do not speak with you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. You see, I will just say some things here. You have the natural man, which is the man that is not saved. You have the carnal man, who is a Christian, but who is sense-ruled. And you have the spiritual man, who is a man that developed in the love of God. Note that. Say, I have fed you, as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto, you were not able to bear it. You see, Let me take my time. You're not able to bear it. Neither yet, now are ye able. So there's some things that God cannot pass on to you as a babe. There's some things that you cannot, because what happens is that God reveals this thing to you by his Spirit. The level of maturity something. It's just like a car. Can you give your 3 years on a car to drive? You can't. So there are things that God cannot pass on to us until we grow to a certain level to receive them. For ye are yet carnal, or sense ruled, whereas there is among you, while carnal, what is the manifestation? Envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? I will divide it into three parts. Baby stage, as a newborn, a new creature, a childhood stage, and a manhood stage. Let me. So, childishness or babyhood is someone that is sense ruled. As newborn babes, you said, desire the sincere milk of the word. So, what that person needs is for him to be taught the word, to be spoon fed, to be nurtured until he grows. I will tell you some characteristics of the baby stage so that we can actually see and locate where we are. Like I said, a spiritual babe can't do much for himself. So they can't do much for themselves. And there's one characteristic of a baby, they are innocent. Babies are quite innocent. And they just, they are open to things. They are ready to learn. They don't have a know-it-all attitude. And that's something that we must keep with us, even as we grow as Christians. They have a teachable spirit towards God and towards man. Let's look at a baby. Teach him something. A baby can learn, a child as he grows up, he can learn languages easily. He's so receptive to things. You know, when we come to a stage where we feel that we know it all, then error has begun to set in. We have to maintain that innocence and that teachable spirit of a baby. Let me give you an example. One of the great men of faith, the great teachers of faith, Kenneth E. Hagin, said he was sitting in a meeting. He had a question for 40 years of his life. He had a question for over 40 years of his life about that. He said he had been struggling, he had prayed, he had fasted. The answer didn't seem to come. He was sitting down and someone was teaching. He said when the guy was teaching, he almost got up and wanted to give the guy a blow on his face. Oh, you're teaching error. So what are you teaching? He said God told him, you can learn from everything. Sit down and stop being proud. As the guy was talking, that question he has had for years, 40 years of his life, came, and the answer came to him. Must maintain that innocence of a child, of a baby. You never get to a point where you feel, I know it all. The Bible says we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. Let's understand that. The other thing about a baby, talking about the childhood, the baby stage, is ignorance. Baby takes anything you put there, pick it up, straight to the mouth. Straight to the mouth. Ignorance. You know, so, and babies have eaten poison, they've drank foam, they've taken soap and eaten, we've seen them in hospitals because of that ignorance. So also, putting a spiritual parallel to that. See, I'm just going to the basic grassroots of the stake. You know, you must be careful what you imbibe into your spirit in terms of the word of God. In terms of the teaching of the things of the spirit. In terms of the doctrine. That's what I mean. The doctrine that you hear. Wrong doctrine can destroy a man. Wrong doctrine can destroy. I was with my friend years ago. One of the pastors before. He said he read a book. He said the book destroyed him. He scattered his entire being. It destroyed him that to the extent that he went to carry all his word of faith books and went to throw them away. Wrong doctrine. Because Satan knows. Satan will not come with something. He won't come with some serious negative things. He will till the word and just distort it slightly. Has God said? That's what we do. And the effect of that is so bad. He told Jesus. He says, he told him that the angels will catch you. If you jump from this place, that has he not said that the angels will bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone? So he comes with that wrong doctrine. I remember Kenneth E. Hagin of blessed memory was sitting down after he got healed. The enemy came to him and said, "You shall die on so day." He was a baby Christian then. He said, "Oh, he was getting ready to die."
He says, it's appointed unto man once to die. That's what the enemy told him. So Satan will not come to you, a Christian, with something extra. He will come to you with scriptures. But distorted scriptures. That's why you must study to show yourself approved. You must surround yourself with proven teachers and proven and tried people that have true faith and patience have inherited the promise. You must not, it's not everybody. It's not every book you read. It's very important. You become what you read. People have entered into error and dangerous things by reading different books. There's a great men of God. People associated with them have read books and have gone into even occultism. You must be careful about what you read. You must sieve what you hear. You must sieve who you listen to. It is so important. You cannot compromise on the truth. It's so important. So he sat down there and was waiting to die. But the Holy Ghost quickened in his heart and said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. He went to look at the word. He saw, this is not true. This is distorted of the truth. So let's understand that. Ignorance, one. Two, innocence. Let's understand that those things are important. And the other thing about a child is they get irritable quite easily. So you begin to see those things, they get frustrated easily. They get very irritable. Imagine they try to do this, trying to do this. He just gets frustrated and throws everything on the floor. You know, so let's begin to see our lives and begin to make adjustments. I know that we need to grow thereby in those areas. The childhood state, we'll talk about that briefly. A child is unsteady. You can tell a child, you cannot be trusted. You can say, you young man, stay here and do these dishes. When you come back, you can see him in the neighbor's house playing football. You cannot be trusted or given responsibilities. Those are just, I'm talking about manifestations of these various stages. So also in the things of the spirit. You can be given an assignment and sometimes people are, you see, because the way we do things these days, we do things in a different way that we used to do. Imagine, there was a time when people did not know where the location of the meeting was. People had to pray to God to show them where the meeting was and decode by the Holy Spirit where to meet. That was the depth of it. That's what I'm talking about. That was the depth of it. That you pray to God and say, where is the meeting today? Because there was an embargo on people meeting. So they had to meet in secret places. Say, okay, Lord, show us where the meeting is. Then they will pray in the Spirit and receive direct instruction from the Holy Ghost. Go to a certain place in this place and sit down there. And that's where the meeting will be. That's how deep it is. I'm just saying the depth of Christianity we're talking about. So that child is unsteady. He cannot be relied on to do anything. The other thing is that they are very curious. They are very curious. They like to poke their nose into other people's affairs. They like to gossip. They don't know how to be quiet. Another thing, they are so talkative. They don't know the value of silence. That's a child. That's a child. That's the manifestations and the characteristics of a child. The evil speaking, vain speaking, all those things are part of a manifestation of childhood Christianity in the things of the Spirit. Then manhood, the manhood stage. If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24, I'm just running through this. Now we're going to how to develop this thing. It says, they esteem earthly things lightly. They esteem earthly things lightly. It says in Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. It says, when he was come to years, refused to be called, that means when he had reached the stage of manhood, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. They changed their focus and spiritual things become more important to them than material things. You cannot put earthly things first. God wants to prosper you, but you have to put things right. God wants to prosper you. It says there in the book of 1 John, it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. It says there. It says in Psalm 1, it says that your way will be prosperous, but you have to put things in priority. The first thing to seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Spiritual things as a new creature in Christ Jesus must be your first priority. Spiritual things must be put first and things must be put in the right perspective. Even with our children, we must understand that when we are training them, we must, in their minds, we must make sure we are training them in a way that we know that spiritual things are put in first priority in their lives. Because it's what they see. It's how we train them that they will become. I remember Iggy was saying that his daughter was going somewhere. She wasn't feeling too well. said, you are going to church with me. No, what happened was that his daughter wasn't feeling, I think she wasn't feeling too well. So there was a party in the neighborhood. So I think the mother said, okay, no, I think it was good to church. Don't go to church, but we'll go to the party. So it was saying that what message is she passing to the daughter? Like, I go to the party, but you cannot go to the house of God. So, I mean, there are subtle things. We should just re-examine and see what our priorities are. That's what I'm saying. There are subtle things we have to see and re-examine what our priorities are. Are we starting from the flesh? Are we starting from the outside? We are spirit beings primarily. Everything we do, we should put the spirit first. We should put spiritual things first. Begin to reprogram yourself. Start from the spirit, then the soul, then the body. Start from the inside. Don't rely on an alarm clock to wake you up again. Begin to, anything you rely on the outside becomes a crutch to you. Start developing that spirit. Start developing the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Start putting God's word first. When you're in a situation, say, what does the fact of God's word say about this? Don't jump out and go with what you think is right or what the things around you or the systems have said is right. Start from what the word of God says. Tell you what you think. I remember there was one time I was trying to sell a house ages ago. Basically, the tenant was saying, no, please give us some time. I said, I have to sell this house. As I was saying, the Holy Spirit said, have you actually asked me what's my opinion about this? I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, what's your opinion? He says, the word just came to say, if your friend tells you to go a mile, extend it to 2 miles. Simple, that's okay. That's how we should function, that's what I'm saying. We should function from the word of God, the facts of the word. Let's begin to, even no matter how tiny it is, let's begin to ask God, what is your opinion? What does the word say? Let us begin to reprogram our mind. Not what the systems, not what the banks say, not what we have been thought in our mind, not what we have always done. What does God's word say about this matter? Not what tradition says, what does God's word say? The marriage things, the way we live in our marriage, what does God's word say about this matter? Let's understand that. Let's begin to function again from the Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 4. We'll round up shortly. There's so many things to cover. We'll round up shortly. Father, we give you thanks. So let's go back. Well, it's a season where I believe God wants to bring back the strength of His body. That's discipleship. People that are strong in spirit, that strong in character, not people that are taken away with anything on the outside. That you can see a man who is the president of a multinational company, he comes to church and he decides to be a security guard. In the body of Christ, in the church of God, there are no heirs. There's nothing like that. We come here, that's what Micah was saying to David. David said, look, in this thing, there is no seniority. I will dance with the servants together. As when we enter the church, you drop your career behind, you drop your bank account behind, you drop everything. We come in here as one, at the same plane. There's nothing like that in the body of Christ. There's no heirs. It's in the world you have that, where the status is a symbol inside here. A man with a jail will become a security man here. He'll be cleaning chairs. That's what we're talking about. You know, so let's begin to understand and refocus our mind that who are we really? Let's not imbibe the systems and the standards of the world and bring it into the church of God. We're different people, we're a different breed completely from the world, and our systems to show the world that this is how to live. I come out of my plane or my jet, and the way I relate with the security man, I mean, you think we're brothers. That is how we should be, that's what I'm saying. You discuss, you cannot trace the wealth of my I have even with the way I interact with people. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know what I'm saying? So that's what we are going in this thing. No status symbol in the body of Christ. We drop it out there, we come here, everybody on the same plane. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Round up shortly. I've even entered the message, but this is just the periphery. But we have to stop because some people are hungry, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. we need to go there. I'll give us an assignment. Since we know today, we end here. We've seen it in the scriptures that growing up in the things of God is growing up in the fruits of the Spirit. Because when those guys came to Jesus, he says, Lord, we've casted out devils in your name. We've done miracles in your name. He said, I didn't know you. I gave you a special endowment to do these things. He said, ah, Lord, but we did this in your name. He said, well, fine. He said, but say, you guys, come here. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. Those are attributes of love. He said, no, you enter into my kingdom. Since we know that, I give us an assignment today. Let us take 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. And I'm serious about it. That's the instruction. Every day. And the way it works is once on the outside, when something happens contrary to that, that is when you should declare it. Declare that for the next 30 days over your life. Personalize it, because if God is love and we are built in the image and likeness of God, we too, we are love. And that love has been shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. When he came to pour it inside there. So the love of God and understanding of that love, that he loves me so much, and that ability to release that love to the people around me has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto me. If it is that, if that is who God is, it says God is love. It didn't say God is power. It says God is, it says God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love. If it's saying that that is the evidence that people will know that you're actually born again, it means that that life of God is actually love. If that is it, let's make it our first priority. And you will see the things of the Spirit and the things on there will open up unto you effortlessly. I know what I'm talking about. See, do that and you, let's go to one more scripture before we close. The assignment is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, Amplified Bible. Write it, read it in the morning, personalize it. I am born of love. I am never envious. Morning and night for 30 days. Do it. Do it. Anytime you provoke, do it. As you're walking, do it and make it your priority. Put it before your eyes. Say it to yourself. Do it. Make it your priority and you will see what will happen. It's important. You see, the Spirit of God is emphasizing, this is so important. I can't overemphasize it. I try to go away, the Holy Spirit will come back to this. This is the core and the cardinal thing of Christianity. The gravity is so much that I don't know how to actually explain that. The Holy Ghost will open it to you guys. It's a thing of gravity. That's what I'm saying. It's a thing of gravity. It says, bear ye one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the love law. That's it. So let's go to, I want to show you something before we close. We'll round up now. It's in Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Say, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, and besides this, giving all diligence unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, it's fine, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. These are all these attributes of love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, listen to that, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That knowledge is epignosis. That is the real, exact, and accurate knowledge. If these things, the fruits of the Spirit, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge. But he, that's why ever learning but never being able to come to the knowledge of truth is the absence of this thing. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof is the absence of this thing. Say, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is a blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, that means temperance, that means patience, that means adding those things, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. For if you do this thing, you shall, for so shall be ministered unto you abundantly an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of God our Savior. When it says, he that does this thing shall never inherit the kingdom of God. If you remember in Galatians. And if you go to 1 John, I won't go there today. It says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That's what it's saying. Same thing. Let's go back to this love walk. Let's go back to the... See, that is the essence of Christianity. That's the essence of Christianity. See, as for knowledge, shall pass away. As for prophecies, they shall fail. As for tongues, they shall cease. That is the essence. I challenge you, these next 30 days, reactivate your consciousness of the love of God. You can't do it by yourself. As you behold and as you declare, it says, speaking the truth in love, the Spirit of God will take those things and begin to change you on the inside. You can't do it yourself. I mean, look at it. Look, if you go to, if you look at the things that love says, I mean, by the time you walk from here to the car, you know, so, no, God doesn't like that. Please emphasize this thing, because things, people are strongly reaching out for things. That little adjustment in that love walk, see, opens you up to the supernatural in a way you will not have believed it. Just little adjustment. Let's do that. Let the Holy Ghost begin to take those. I wrote on Facebook, I said, the first assignment of faith is to perfect the love of God on the inside of us. That's the first assignment of faith. See, there abide three things: hope, faith, and love. But the greatest is love. And these little adjustments in our lives. I was trying to. My son has this bicycle that has these suspenders, so I was trying to undo it. So I turned one and turned and I removed it. The second one I couldn't. This was like a year ago. I said we'll go to Halfords. I've been saying for 1 year, but we said, Daddy, but you said it. I said we'll go to Halfords. So last week, When bike riding, so I said, let me try again. I had, you know, these pliers that you can. So I had another plier. I said, let me try this different one. I just put it on the wheel. I just turned it. It turned so easily. You see that the first time I did it, I was using so much power, so much struggle that it even injured my hand because of the force I was using. I just put this new plier. I just turned it with minimal effort. And you just said, look, that all you need sometimes just a little adjustment. Like the closer man say, one thing you lack, just make that little adjustment. You are doing other things, so, but there's one thing. The thing you're looking, it's just beside you there. Little adjustments, a little here, a little there. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you strengthen us in our inner man. That Father, we have to practice these truths. For it's not of him that wills or of him that runs, but it's he that shows mercy.
open yourself afresh to us, that we might know that love that passes knowledge, O God, that we might be filled with all your fullness, O Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. As we walk in this love, we thank for perfect love. Casts out every fear, casts out every torment, casts out everything that is not of you. Father, I thank you because you are love, and we walk in that love. We walk in you and you in us. And the evil one cannot touch us because we keep ourselves in the love of God. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We bless your name because the prince of this world cometh. Because we walk in that love. He has nothing in us. We give you thanks and we give you praise because we keep your commandment of love. Whatsoever we ask in prayer, we receive it. Because we do those things that are pleasing in your sight. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We bless your holy name. Father, we give you thanks. As we break bread, let's give him thanks and use this as a point of contact that he will open the eyes of our understanding, that we will see clearly even the things that make for our peace, the things that make for our peace, the adjustments we need to make, that we will receive strength as we eat the bread. This is the strength of the resurrected body of Christ, the power, the same healing virtue will flow into our mortal bodies. And as we break the bread, as we drink the cup, we say the blood of Jesus has been spilled over our lamp posts of our doors, that no destroyer shall come into our house to destroy us. We say the blood will cause every adversary to pass over us, and the blood speaks of mercy on our behalf. He say, I'll be merciful to their transgressions, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. So every feeling of condemnation and guilt is wiped out by the blood of Jesus. And as we partake of the bread, our eyes are opened up to see clearly the things that make for our peace and the little adjustments we need to make even by the Spirit of God. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We bless your holy name. Let's begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, we give you thanks. In the same way he took the bread and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Father, we give you thanks as we partake of this, partake of the very life in the resurrected body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.